Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. Good morning, everyone. Today is the fifth Sunday of Easter, so we will continue to look and explore, touch and taste what it means to be resurrection people. Resurrection people in this day and in this age, in these times of rapid change. In these times of ongoing transformation and growth in the world, the ability to be transformed and grow are a part of God's love for creation. Amen. The earth knows it and proclaims it well in these days. It can be seen in the flowers that have pushed through the hard, dark, once frozen, yet fertile soil to burst with rich and vibrant hues of purples and pinks and yellows and blues. These bold colors protest against the drabness that could be overwhelming if we as humans had to decide whether or not to bloom, whether or not to grow, whether or not to flourish. Flowers and the flourishing of nature all around us have a beautiful way of helping us to celebrate love and beauty that springs forth from God. Amen. It's a very, very tactile way of touching the love that overflows. And in a very tactile way, we have turned the page since last week. We are now in the month of May. I cannot believe it. On Friday, in reflection of May 1st, May Day, a member of our congregation shared one of her favorite memories. A memory of being a child, and that at this time of the year, on May Day, they would make paper baskets and fill them with freshly picked flowers, and then secretly leave them on the doorsteps of neighbors. What a sweet way of celebrating and sharing the love and beauty and growth that has fought through the bitterness of a hostile winter, fought through frigid piles of treacherous ice and snow. And when this congregation member shared this memory, it reminded me of my one and only memory celebrating May Day as a child. I guess they just don't do that in Florida. It was in the third grade, and I was bused twice a week to this local elementary school for challenge classes, is what they called them. But this entire school was doing something awesome. They were having a May Day Renaissance Fair. And so we all did different projects. We were planning weeks in advance, and I learned about something that I had never, ever seen before and really haven't seen since. It was a tall flagpole, and it had been erected in the front of the school, and it seemed to reach to my third grade eyes up into the heavens, and from it came down arrays of ribbons. That's right. It was a maypole. Anyone ever seen a maypole before? Yeah. Now, several other students and I learned a very basic maypole dance, which is different than a pole dance, just to be certain. So we learned this maypole dance, which I am certain that we got wrong at several points, but it is one of my gleaming childhood memories. And it wasn't because we got it right, but it was because as a child, I knew down in this part of me that something was special was happening when we were weaving in and out of each other's lives. Some of the children at that maypole dance I knew by name. Some of them I knew by face, and some of them I didn't really know at all. But by the end of the dance, we had all been pulled closer because we had been tethered to something higher. Amen. Tethered to something higher than ourselves, and we simply, just by not letting go, were abiding in relationship with each other. with this source that was higher than any of us could reach in our child-sized bodies, or even now in our adult-sized bodies many decades later. And so we were abiding with each other. We were drawn together, closer and closer as we danced. And by the end of the dance, that required sometimes for us to all be going in the same direction, but sometimes some of us went in a different direction, and sometimes based on the colors that we had, we rove in different patterns, and sometimes we had to stand still. But by the end of the dance, it was done. We had created a weaving around that pole that reached into the sky. In my adult reflection of that May Day circa 1990, there is in this pole of ribbon covered with imperfected patterns, haphazardly started and stopped, bunched up and then spaced out. Well, there is a testimony in that weaving. It testified to our juvial past as children taken. That weaving on that maypole displayed what was possible when we worked together. It would have been impossible for us to have that weaving had we just done it by ourselves, but by working together, laughing together, frolicking together, flourishing together, playing together, running together, slowing down, standing, we built something together. Amen. I have no idea what ended up happening to that braiding that was around that maypole, but I am certain that there will never be another one just like it. I know that I was learning something special in that moment, what it meant to work together, to abide with others, to really love what you're doing when it's beautiful and fruitful and joyful. And I learned how important it is to make sure that everyone could participate. Little did I know on that sunny Florida day in that front schoolyard that I would be also learning about God's abiding love. Just by experiencing what it meant to be connected with others. Jesus said in John's gospel, I am the vine and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch that bears no fruit, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken you. Abide in me and I will abide in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides with the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The interconnectedness that Jesus shared with his early disciples continues to share with us is a powerful thing. It is exercising what we know to be true. And in doing so, we are adding to the story of what it means to be loving to our neighbor and to share the beauty and joy of life. In our text, there is an issue of identity that Jesus is pointing us towards. We need to know what we are. We are the branches. We are the branches that find our identity in the vine, Jesus Christ, to which we are connected. We are branches connected to this vine, Jesus Christ, that is cultivated, cared for, nurtured by, and loved by the Father, the vine grower. We find for ourselves in this scripture what it means to know our purpose and our identity in our relationship with Jesus Christ, and by extension to the Creator of all. Now, another insight that Jesus offers to us in this passage is what it means to flourish. We are to bear good fruit. as a sign of the abiding relationship between us, the branches, and Jesus, the vine. In other words, the things that spring forth from us are reflections of what is going on inside of us. Amen. If the vine produces grapes, then we know indeed that that is a grapevine. If the vine produces tomatoes, we know indeed that that is a tomato plant. Exactly. If we are producing joy, that is a sign of the joy within. Amen. If all you can produce is pain, it is a sign of the pain within. When the behaviors and thoughts and hopes and agendas are reflections of Christ's core commandments of love your neighbor as yourself and love your God with your whole heart, then we bear fruit that is congruent with our identity in Christ. Amen. We show what it means to be abiding in love. There is indeed beauty that comes with this type of abiding in love. There is a flourishing and a sense that overflows as we bear these good fruit. God wants us to flourish, not just to get by, but to flourish. Like the flowers that have fought through that mysterious dark soil, flourishing comes not because it is easy, amen, but because God calls us to bear fruit even in difficult situations as a sign of God's grace and mercy. But Jesus is clear that we are to be congruent. We are not to be lukewarm in our identity. Jesus said, "Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." That's hard to hear. Amen. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is to be glorified by this, that is, bear fruit and become my disciples." What becomes clear is that for the sake of fruitfulness of the vine, there will be divine pruning. Some of us knows what that feels like. Amen. Sometimes God needs to lop off certain parts of us in order for us to be more fruitful. Amen. Whenever we are being not true to our identity, I thank God for that ongoing process of pruning in my life. Sometimes it has been painful, no doubt. Sometimes it has been ugly. Have you ever seen an overpruned tree? Sometimes it has been sad. This removal of behaviors and thought processes and self-talk and prejudices and destructive ways of being. But when we acknowledge that it is not bearing fruit anyway, God shows up. In the very places that we once thought were dead, and there is resurrection and new life. Amen. Thank God for a God who knows how to destroy those lifeless, twiggy branch pieces in our lives. As hard as it is, we must thank God for those places in which new growth can be made possible. And what is important for us to remember is that by God's grace and mercy, we are not alone in this process. We gather week after week to be community. To see community, to see a God who decided to come in perfect community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, joining with us as we join with each other in this abiding love, love that promotes growth and renewal. The author of 1 John gets this importance of abiding love when he writes this letter to a diverse Gentile followers. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love." God is love. Love. Oh. Love and beauty and growth, they are meant to be shared. They are meant to be celebrated. They are meant to be promoted. They are meant to be encouraged. They are both gifts that multiply in a divine kind of way, in which the more you give of love, the more love you have to give. Amen? True to the nature of love is that it is a freeing thing. True love is not based in fear, as the scripture says. True love is based in trust for the one who provides it all. Like the seed that lies dormant, unmoved in the ground, and the beauty that sits there until the moment is right, we too remain dormant without love. We remain dormant until in our core we know our true identity in God. In order to love one another in a way that's not perverted by selfishness or equally damaging selflessness, we must have a sense of love that is on our core. Amen. God's love was revealed to us in this way, the scripture says. God sent his only son into the world so that through him we might live. In this love, not that we loved God, but that God loves us and sent the son in the atoning sacrifice of sins. Beloved, that means it ain't about us. We won't get this love thing perfectly until we know the one who loves us deep inside. Amen. The writer continues, "Beloved, since God loved us so much, let us also love one another." So on this May Day that just passed, I was looking for signs of love and beauty. And I found myself watching the newsreels of the city of Baltimore, a city that in the past weeks has been in deep turmoil. And in case you've been under a rock, let me give you a synopsis. A young man named Freddie Gray, a young black man, was found to have a crushed voice box and a severed spine, and subsequently died in the custody of police. So on this May Day, I was watching the newsreel, and there I saw and heard that 6 officers of the law would be charged in the death of Freddie Gray. And so I sat and I continued to sit in this place of sadness and hope. Sad that our brothers are not seen deserving of the abiding love that Christ offers to them so freely by each other. Sad that our brothers are not seen to receive basic care that we would give any living creature. Yet I'm hopeful that justice can be found. But what became even more clear is the damage that we can cause to each other anytime and any place we forget how important it is to offer God's abiding love. Amen. We do ourselves a great disservice when we forget that we are all connected to each other. God has created humanity in such a way that we must do good to each other for us all to be good. Amen. And in the pains of riots, however unexcusable, it became clear that there are people who are crying out to be seen and to be heard and to be loved, crying out for a lack of abiding love, crying out because of the alienation and exclusion that happens when we don't have abiding love, crying out for the injustice and the wrongs that happen that don't stem out of our abiding love. And so I ask you this morning, church, wake up, Easter people. Wake up from our slumber. Wake up, resurrection people. And let's start abiding with each other. It is our time to step up. It is our time to show the world the beauty of what it means to abide in love across racial and economic, political, age, and other divisions. It is our time to show that it is possible by being who we are. It is our time to show what it means to be like that maypole, that we can create something beautiful by being entangled in each other's lives and loving each other as God calls us. It is time to be like those flowers that have pushed through the hard places in order to flourish and blossom. It is our time to abide with the vine and the vine grower. It is our time to abide in love and deed, because Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen. Mm-hmm.